Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free.
From Wondery. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing good, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I heard you got your first shot.
Yes. I got my first COVID vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, my arm is sore. But man, I'm in good spirits. I'm glad to finally get this thing going.
Yeah. I know a lot of other places in the world do not have the same access that we do. I got my first shot, you know, like a month ago, and my arm hurt so bad that I had trouble sleeping that night. So the next day I was pretty tired. I don't think I was tired because of the shot. I was just tired because I hadn't slept. My second shot, I actually had some weird symptoms. I had a really hard time focusing with my eyes. I like became farsighted. Like I could see everything far away, but I couldn't see anything up close, which probably nice because it got me off my phone for a day. You know, after about 18, 24 hours, I was totally back to normal. Everything was fine. But everyone I've talked to has had weird results, but nothing major. So it's been good.
So someone tweeted at us, whenever Justin from Generation Y asks Aaron, what are we talking about today, Aaron? I think of Pinky from Pinky and the Brain asking the Brain, what are we doing tonight, Brain?
Well, we're planning to take over the world.
That's it. But it's just funny that people are associating us with Pinky and the Brain today.
I've heard worse, so I'm going to be grateful.
I just like that people are thinking about us. That's very nice.
Tonight's case, Aaron, is one that, honestly, when you first suggested it to me, my knee-jerk reaction was, I don't want to cover that. But the more I looked into it, the more I researched it. No, I absolutely want to cover this. I looked up some statistics, and it says that like 1 in 6 women are a victim of rape or sexual assault. And I have to say that most of the women I know have been assaulted in some way. You know, women are either afraid or ashamed to report when they've been raped. Some women report that they've been raped and they get brushed off. Other women report the rape and literally get re-victimized by the system. So it's very important that people do report this. It's very important that the system responds appropriately. And one of my favorite questions I always love to ask people is, would you ever accept a plea deal if you were absolutely innocent? So with that, Aaron, what are we talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we're talking about Brian Banks, who on July 8th, 2002, left a class and then saw someone he knew, an acquaintance named Juanetta Gibson, in the hallway. And well, they talked and decided to go off somewhere private. And after that, Brian was arrested for rape. This took place in Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Polytechnic High School.
Now, Juanetta was 15 years old at the time. She was a year younger than Brian. They had known each other for many years. She claims that this was not consensual at all and got her mother, multiple friends, and teachers involved. Now, Brian, he was the high school football star. He was 16 years old. He was a big guy. You can't play football and be a little person, I guess. But he generally stayed out of trouble in high school. He had dreams and aspirations of playing in the NFL. And he was the 11th ranked high school linebacker in the nation. And after this event, Brian would be at home sleeping, and the police would barge into his house, rip him out of bed, put him in handcuffs, and take him to their squad car without any explanation of what he was being charged with. According to Brian, it was a completely normal day. He was in summer school, so there wasn't a lot of kids there, but class was still in session. He ran into her in the hallway, and they agreed to go to the makeout area. And this spot was in the 700 building at the Long Beach Polytechnic campus. So his account is everything was fine. They went downstairs into this empty stairwell and had a consensual encounter where they just made out. He doesn't even say they had sex or anything like that. But it was 6:25 p.m. that day when he was given bail of $1 million for this rape. So Brian and his mother are not rich. They are regular people. Long Beach back at the 90s and early 2000s wasn't the best part of town of, you know, in the LA area. In fact, a lot of people moved to Long Beach because it's the only affordable area. So Brian and Juanetta both give their statements about what happened. And let's just say that they are drastically different.
Brian's version of events are basically that he saw Juanetta exiting the bathroom and asked her to come over so he could talk to her. And then he said, let's go into the elevator. He said his intention was that he and she would go to the stairs to mess around. This is the makeout area in the 700 building. And Brian did say he did want to have sex with Juanetta, but was just going to see what happened. He gave an account of what happened in the elevator. He said he put his arm around her, but he didn't kiss her or otherwise touch her. And they walked down the hallway after exiting the elevator. And when they got to the stairs, he said they kissed and had a consensual encounter, which did not involve sex, but they were making out. And he said at one point he did unzip her pants, but she said she didn't want to do that. So he said he stopped, and then he heard someone at the top of the stairs, and so they quickly got themselves together and left.
He was in summer school, so he could graduate high school and go on to college and do his NFL dream, and he knew that if he was caught in the stairwell with anyone, he'd be kicked out of summer school, or he would be put on, you know, suspension. Whatever it was, he knew that would interrupt his career goal.
And because of his accomplishments, he had colleges approaching him and saying, we'll pay your way, just come to our school. And that included his school of choice, which was USC, Now, Juanetta also gave statements. She says he picked her up, they got in the elevator, they went downstairs, and this is where she says he pulled her pants off and then raped her. And then she returned to class and passed a note to a classmate. That classmate recalled that Juanetta didn't seem upset at all. So this note is essentially Juanetta telling this classmate, who's named Cheryl Washington, that she was raped. It ends with the note saying that Brian didn't use a condom. So school ended at 12:30 in the afternoon, and Juanetta met her sister outside. Her sister was Erica Rhodes. Now, Erica could sense something was going on with Juanetta and started asking her, did something happen? But Juanetta didn't answer her. Now, they walked past Brian Banks, and that's when Juanetta told Erica that Brian made her have sex with him. And Erica said, we need to report this. And so they went back into the school. And this is where she gives her first accounts to the school. This involved the assistant principal, the co-principal, and the principal. This is where it gets tricky, Justin. When we have someone giving an account, people take notes, and many people will end up asking questions. This is how it works if she had gone to the police station as well.
Well, first she told the assistant principal that she met Brian in the 700 building. He pulled up her shirt, then he pulled down her pants, and that's when he did it. She told Gwen Mack.
And Gwen Mack is the co-principal.
That she was in the bathroom, and she ran into Brian, and he pulled her into the elevator, and they went down the stairs, and that's where he pulled her pants down and did it. So far, this isn't that different. You know, if something traumatic happens to you, you just say, well, it happened here and here. So I'm following along. And then she went on to tell Sean Ashley that she was in the 700 building again, ran into Brian. He asked if she could help him with something in the restroom. When she stopped to get water at the water fountain, Brian came up behind her, picked her up, and put her into the elevator. When they got out, they walked down the hallway holding hands. Now, this hallway has classrooms on both sides. I don't know how many students were there during summer school, but there are multiple students there. So it's possible that somebody could have seen them. Once they reached the stairwell, though, that's when they began having sex. Brian told her to be quiet because someone was at the top of the stairs and could hear them. Juanetta looked up and she saw a girl at the top of the stairs talking on her phone. Afterwards, Brian left through the doors by the stairs, and Juanetta went to the bathroom before returning to class, but she didn't tell anyone what happened. Now, that account doesn't really allege rape, but it's insinuated.
The only difference here is now she's speaking with the principal, Sean Ashley, and it does seem like a different account to me, but you have to wonder, when someone's telling a story they don't really want to tell, maybe that's why the story feels a little more vague. Even though there are more details, it's more vague on the actual rape. And maybe it's because she's not comfortable talking about it.
Absolutely. Well, the police would arrive at the school and get a statement from her. She will claim that she left class to use the bathroom in the 700 building again. She saw Brian and he asked if she needed help in the bathroom. Brian told her to come over here and motion to the elevator. She didn't want to, but when the elevator doors opened, he grabbed her and put her inside. He tried to remove her clothing, but she told him to stop. He grabbed her hands and led her down the hallway. They passed by two classrooms. The doors were open and there were students inside. They went to the bottom of the stairs. She tried to call for help because she saw a girl at the top of the stairs, but Brian told her to be quiet. He then raped her and told her not to tell anyone and to go back the way she came. So close to her previous story, just a few more details. Now, Juanetta was given a rape kit. She had this done within 3 hours of the incident. No semen was found. no bodily fluids were found anywhere on her body. Now, it wasn't said if he had ejaculated. It wasn't said how long this really took place. So it is possible that no bodily fluids were exchanged if it was very quick. But no semen was found and no DNA was on her clothing. Nothing. Brian's DNA was not on her body at all. Now, Brian, like we said, was arrested and given a $1 million bail. Obviously, he's not getting out. So at this point, Brian is in a juvenile prison. He's behind bars trying to get lawyers, trying to mount some sort of defense here. The LA district attorney, they charge Brian with 2 counts of forcible rape, 1 count of sodomy, with a special circumstance of kidnapping, because they're saying he forced her down the hall and into the stairwell, or he forced her into the elevator, then down the hall and into the stairwell. So that's the kidnapping charge. The state hired a psychologist who evaluated Brian. They said that he was far beyond his age and that he showed no remorse for the crime, and that this case was so heinous that he should be tried as an adult. We go from juvie to adult prisons here, and he's 17 years old.
So that's quite a while to spend behind bars waiting to hear what will happen. So his lawyer, Elizabeth Harris, says, "There's hope because I think I've got a pretty good deal on the table for you." Now, you started off the episode saying, if you believe you didn't do something, if you know you didn't do something, would you take a plea? I mean, that's what the plea deal is all about. You can avoid a trial where you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the sentence will be. A plea deal gives you something real straightforward. You know what you're pleading to, and you know what your time behind bars will be, if at all, and if there's probation, etc. So his attorney says, look, we could go to trial, but you'll get an all-white jury, and they're going to take a look at you at this big, young guy who can easily pick up a woman and take her to a stairwell, and they're just going to assume you did it.
Yeah, I mean, her attorney, this is a quote from Brian Banks, "You're a big black teenager with an all-white jury. What do you think they're going to do?"
So what do you say? You say you need to talk to an attorney because an attorney will give you good advice because they have experience. They understand the law. And Brian, well, he's kind of in a tough spot because he knows he's facing a trial. And he's also being told, you can't talk to your mother right now. So you have to make a decision. And I think what they gave him 10 minutes. So he had to think, will I take the plea deal or go to trial? Here's what the offer of the plea deal was, according to his attorney. This deal says, plead no contest to 1 count of sexual assault. You'll get a 90-day observation period at Chino State Prison. After that time, if you have a good report, you'll have a chance for probation after review. So she makes it sound like, you're not really going to serve any time. Now, she says the sentence would be 18 months to 5 years with guaranteed probation. Now, conversely, he's looking at up to 41 years if a jury finds him guilty on all these counts. So 18 months to 5 years, maybe less, right? So he's still going to be a young man when he gets out, even if he gets the maximum amount of time. And that's where we come up with this question, or you've come up with this question. Would you take a plea deal? Because Brian Banks, he said he never did this. We already told you what his statement was. He made out consensually with Juanetta, but that's it.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
August 20th, 2003. Brian made his decision. He chose to plead no contest to the charges.
I mean, you're told 3 months, you're probably out and you're good, or 41 years. That was the two things he was weighing out there. They did say that, you know, it could be anywhere from 3 months and probation to up to 5 years, but they never do that. So you'll be fine. So he pleads no contest. And what do they give him, Aaron?
Well, he makes it through that 90-day evaluation period. So Brian's probably pretty hopeful at that point. But then his case was reviewed for sentencing. And on October 8th, 2003, they sentenced him to 6 years. After he was released, he was required to register as a sex offender.
For the rest of his life. Yeah.
Now, he didn't serve that full 6 years. He served 5 years, 2 months.
Of course, this is crushing to him and his mother because, again, he was expecting a few months. But really, Aaron, if somebody rapes somebody in a stairwell, I don't even know if 5 years is good enough. I mean, that's a pretty heinous crime. So,
and he carried her there, supposedly.
Yeah. You know, this feels like a slap on the wrist to me. 3 months, screw that. 5 years, that's more appropriate, but maybe even longer. Because if you rape somebody, you destroy their life. So what's 5 years?
Right. His mother, though, she had a problem with this because, one, she believed her son. He told her, I didn't do this. But she sold her car and mortgaged her house so that she could pay for the attorney.
The attorney that said, take the plea deal. Yeah.
And so at that point, she felt like the attorney had screwed her son over, screwed her over, because they had come up with money and this is the best she could do. But I'm sure the attorney was saying, look, I told you what was likely to happen. It didn't happen, but you're still a young man when you get out. She's looking at the bright side of things.
Wynetta Gibson and her mother, Wanda, well, if you are attacked at your school and the school allows this, I mean, this stairwell was a known makeout area. It was unmonitored. So in 2006, they end up suing the Long Beach Unified School District. They claim that there was a lack of security that led to an unsafe environment, and they'll end up winning $1.5 million. That's a lot of money. I mean, that's how you get a school district or a company or whoever to change things up, as you hit them in the pocketbook. If this school is unsafe, then sue them. And now they're going to put in some cameras because they don't want to be sued again if somebody's attacked. Now, Brian goes to prison. While in prison, let's just say that his attitude goes down the toilet. and he witnesses things in prison that most people shouldn't witness, and he'll end up getting into an altercation with another inmate that puts him in solitary confinement for months. He says that he almost lost his mind while in solitary. But if you think he's a terrible rapist, then he gets what he gets, right?
So one of the things that Brian feels should be in his favor is that there was no evidence of rape. It was literally Juan Etta's word that this happened. And he also feels like his legal counsel, his attorney, was inadequate. I'm sure anybody listening, whether they think Brian Banks is a terrible person or not, understands that his legal counsel probably wasn't the best. But what does he do? I mean, he files a petition, a writ of habeas corpus. There's no evidence of rape. I had a bad attorney. Well, what usually happens in that situation, right?
Well, they shoot them all down. And California is actually one of the hardest states to file for any kind of habeas corpus and get your case even looked at, much less overturned.
So the next step Brian takes is to write to Justin Brooks, who's with the California Innocence Project. And we understand, we've covered so many cases now where innocence projects from different states get involved in cases and they can really, really help out. Now, Brian contacts them and their first words are, "We don't understand how there's any evidence here to prove your innocence."
Yeah. And they say you took a plea deal. So essentially, you pleaded guilty. You're telling us there's no DNA evidence, yet you took a plea. So the DNA evidence no longer matters. If you would have gone to trial, you could have used that, but you didn't. So now it's no longer valid, I guess, because that's the way our legal system works.
Yeah, it's almost it's too bad, but that's the way it is.
And plus, they have guys on death row. They have guys that are, you know, doing 20 years. And Brian, he's doing 5 and he's going to be out. Not really a priority to them because they're looking at bigger cases. And that's not to say that the CIP is a bad organization, but they're looking at where we can win and what we can do to give the most amount of freedom to somebody. Brian? Not really on their radar.
Brian served 85% of his sentence, was eligible for parole, and was granted parole. He was released August 29th, 2007. He registered as a sex offender and had to wear an ankle monitor for a while.
Now, Aaron, a lot of people don't know, but when you have to wear an ankle monitor, you have to pay for that ankle monitor, and you have to pay for a service to monitor you. That service, I don't know how much it was in 2007, but today in Missouri, those ankle monitors cost about $90 to $100 a week. So when you're on parole, you have to pay an obscene amount of money for an ankle monitor. Then you have to pay weekly for that ankle monitor. And if your parole officer ever calls you, you have to answer and you have to do whatever they say. Otherwise, they can violate you and send you right back to prison. Parole's no joke. I just want to make that clear.
That's good information. So at this point, Brian Banks is free. He's having the typical trouble of finding a job, but he continues on searching for work. And on February 28th, 2011, he sees a very strange friend request on Facebook. It's Juanetta Gibson. Now, Brian's first reaction is, what? I mean, remember, from his point of view, he didn't do anything wrong, but she got him put away.
Yeah. And if you were a rape victim and you came across your rapist online, I don't think sending them a friend request would be your first response. It would be, oh my God, that guy's out. Should I fear for my life?
So he messaged her right away and said, why are you doing this? Why are you reaching out to me? And her response was, I want to let bygones be bygones. She said, I want to be friends again. I want to rekindle our friendship. I know that she had a response, but he just didn't understand it. But what he did understand was that this was a real opportunity. Maybe she'll talk. Maybe she'll tell him why she did what she did. And so he said, hey, do you want to meet up with me? And she said, yeah.
But Aaron, you have to realize that he has 10 months left on his probation. Part of his probation guidelines is that he has to stay far away from schools. He has to stay far away from parks or anywhere there's kids. And he has to stay far away from Juanetta. So by even speaking to her on the phone, on Facebook, anything, he risks going back to jail.
Yeah, think about it. If this is a trap, if she's thinking, I'm reaching out to him because I want him put back away, all I have to do is get him to violate his parole, then that's what it could be. This could be a trap. But this shows you the motivation of Brian Banks. He understands the situation he's in. He understands the risk. But because he really wants to clear his name, he's moving forward with this. So he reaches out to Freddie Parrish. This is actually a father of a friend of his. He had his own private investigation company. It was titled Vantage Point Investigations. And he said, I really could use some help. The woman that put me away, she made up a lie. And I really just want her to tell the truth. Freddie Parrish said, yeah, I'll help you out. So they were to meet at Parrish's office. You know, it's wired with cameras and microphones. So if Juanetta's there and she starts talking, they'll have it all on video and on audio.
The reason why he's taking this risk is because the Innocence Project said, unless you have new evidence, we can't help you. Unless you have something astronomical, tremendous, you're stuck. So what would be more impressive than a recantment, admission that she lied? I mean, anyone that's really into law and order, I mean, as soon as he broke the law, he should have gone back to jail, right?
March 2nd, 2011. This was the day where Juanetta agreed to meet Brian at this private investigator's office. This meeting was recorded, but I need to say right off the bat that Juanetta didn't know she was being recorded. But during this meeting, she tells Brian that she lied. She said, it just wasn't true at all.
She said, he never raped me. He never kidnapped me.
But she has a problem because this is the guy she sent to prison for almost 6 years. She really does want to be friends with Brian again. But on the flip side, she doesn't want to lose the money. She had gotten $1.5 million judgment, although she had to split half of that with the attorney. But still, that's $750,000. And if she admits that she lied, they might want that money back. And she doesn't really have it because she spent a good amount already on TVs and cars.
As soon as she admitted that she lied, as soon as she said, he didn't rape me, Brian, it took all of his might to not storm out of there and go right to the Innocence Project. He had to sit there and laugh and giggle and just go along with it. And there is video footage of this whole interview, and it's maddening how dismissive she is to what was done. So Brian goes back to the Innocence Project with this video of her saying she lied. And the Innocence Project says, did she know she was being recorded? And he said, well, there was a sign in the room that said everything in this office is being monitored. But did you say everything you're about to say is being recorded? And he said, no. And they said, well, this whole video is inadmissible. You need to tell her. You need to get her to admit it while she's informed that she's being recorded. So what happens next, Aaron?
So he talks to Aneta and says, I need you to do a video confession. And she agrees to come back to the PI's office to talk again. And it's during this confession where she recants her statements from 2002. And she said, yeah, we were kissing, we were making out. It was consensual. She says a school security guard told her she was raped. So she's able to go through these questions and say, no, he did not rape me. He did not kidnap me. But she also says that the adults got involved and blew it all out of proportion. She said the adults put stuff in her head. And this is, I think, her way of explaining why it's not really her fault that Brian Banks ended up in prison.
Yeah. She was young. She thinks she's getting in trouble. It's what kids do.
Juanetta was asked to sign a document, but she couldn't sign it, she said, because she'd have to pay back the money if she did. But the good news here is that Juanetta did admit that she made the whole story up. So with this, it seems like the PI is telling Brian, look, you know, your case just got a whole lot better. So he's got this new evidence, Justin, and he did what the California Innocence Project asked him to do, which is get Juanetta's consent to be recorded and get her to confess. And she did that.
And that gave the Innocence Project something to work with, because they could go through and say, he didn't drag you down this hallway at the school because there were multiple classrooms with doors open. Nobody saw him dragging you down a hallway. The girl at the top of the stairs, did she even exist? Or if she did exist, she didn't hear anyone crying out for help. They interviewed all these different students. Some of the students actually remember the rumor that she was making the whole thing up at the time. There was so much evidence that called things into question that neither his defense attorney or the prosecutor bothered with. They literally treated it as a case of he said, she said, and I hate that term, but that's it. They didn't look into any of the evidence. Now they have to.
So the CIP filed a petition for another writ of habeas corpus. They want the conviction vacated. This action was taken August 15th, 2011. But after this is filed, Juanetta meets with the LA District Attorney's Office. And she said that Banks was pressuring her, urging her to recant her confession, and that the video was edited. She then went on to say that the incident did start off consensual, but turned into assault.
Now, that again is different in her statements. And she knows she's going to lose this money. She knows that what she did was wrong. So she's trying to play damage control now. And it's a recantment of her recantment, which who would do that? I don't know.
And I wonder if she was being pressured possibly by family. I mean, I think back to it was discovered that before her deposition in the civil suit, you know, before she got that judgment of $1.5 million, Juanetta had told her lawyer that she was lying. But her lawyer told her, no, don't say anything. Just let this play out. Let them do what they're going to do. So it seems to me like Juanetta is maybe being pressured at times. Maybe deep down, she really does want to do the right thing, but you know, she's being pressured. She's being pushed to make certain decisions. That's just me reading into it. I don't really have any proof of that.
Yeah.
But again, I would just offer up what we know of what happened in this case.
But because Brian was so diligent, because Brian literally broke the law, he took all these risks and communicated with her and got her to confess on tape, on video, that she lied. And what did Judge Mark Kim of the LA Superior Court do on May 24th, 2012?
He reversed the conviction. And what's interesting is this is the same exact judge that had sentenced Brian Banks to prison back in 2003.
Now, Brian's first attorney, Elizabeth Harris, no comment, no apologies, She was doing her job. And honestly, Aaron, it's a tough job being a defense attorney because you know the system sucks. So is it better to know the system's bad? Or is it a bad thing because you don't fight enough for your client? The attorney, I'm sure she probably thought she was giving him good advice. Like, dude, why would you risk 40 plus years when you could just take 5 or 3 months? But if she would have fought for him, she would have looked at the evidence. This could have turned out much different. So it sucks that defense attorneys know the system is not in their favor or not in their client's favor. I don't know. It's a tough choice.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine that there are people out there saying, look, he was facing a lot of years. She got him essentially a little over 5.
Honestly, Aaron, if I was in Brian's shoes, I think that I'd be a little upset. I mean, this guy had his whole life ahead of him. This guy had opportunities to become a football player. Good looking guy. You know, once he gets out of prison, sorry, no one wants to date a sex offender. No one wants to hire a sex offender. His life has been screwed. He can't get a job to even pay for his ankle monitor. This has just destroyed everything in his life. But somehow, some way, he stays positive and motivated through all this.
I almost feel like he didn't have much of a choice. Brian Banks, when he's asked about this, it seems like he says, the past is the past. Tomorrow's a mystery. So essentially he's saying, I need to move on. If I let this stuff eat at me, I'm not doing myself any favors. And this is a guy that needs favors. You know, he doesn't need to constantly dwell on how bad everything went. And in many ways, he's got a lot to be thankful for because there were people that came forward to help him out. You know, he had that PI. He had the California Innocence Project. They gave him good advice. He answered. He responded. And then they were able to help him out in court. So his life turned around. But, you know, for a guy who had dreams of playing in the NFL and didn't actually make it to college, to university, well, he's probably got a lot of things that he wants to try and accomplish. So this is where the California Innocence Project director, Justin Brooks, steps up again, and he does a press conference, and he calls for the NFL to give Brian a chance. I think this is amazing because on paper, it doesn't look right. You have a guy who was a star high school player, but the NFL is a different animal. And so for him to go from high school to prison to the NFL, how likely is that? But I'll tell you what, 6 teams reached out and said, try out for us. He tried out with the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Diego Chargers, San Francisco 49ers, and the Seahawks. And I can't even remember the other teams, but he really did get the opportunity. But he hasn't been playing ball. So when he was out there, they said he had to compete, but his conditioning, you know, his training, it wasn't quite where it needed to be because, well, he had been locked away for over 5 years. While that's happening, Juanetta Gibson talks to a news station. And this is, I guess, in response to her confession being aired. So she's upset. And she said Brian bribed her with $10,000 to confess.
I'm just going to call BS on that because where would Brian get $10,000 when he can't get a job and he has to pay the state and all these other penalties and fees every single week? Sorry, no. He doesn't have $10,000 to bribe you with.
So 2013, the Long Beach Unified School District, they want their money back. They sue Juanetta and her mother, and they win. Juanetta Gibson was ordered to pay back the $1.5 million judgment, as well as $1.1 million in fees. One thing that didn't help Juanetta was that she never showed up to any of the court dates involving her case. So one of the questions, Justin, is when someone gets put away, and we discover that they're actually innocent of the crime they were accused of and convicted of, you start thinking about compensation, right?
Yeah, I would hope, because the system will always say, they'll always fight for their conviction, and they'll say, well, we did everything right, so you don't get any compensation. Even if you're wrongfully convicted, they'll say, well, the process was sound, so you got what you got. But Brian fights, and Brian wins.
He had two requirements that he had to meet to receive this compensation. He had to prove that he did not commit the crime and prove that he sustained pecuniary injury. So he did this. He submitted evidence as well as the California Innocence Project, but they have a formula for figuring out how much you're to be compensated if you meet those requirements. And it was $100 for each day. So how much money did he end up with, Justin?
It shows $142,200. So not much. I mean, 5 years behind bars. Some of that in solitary. Let's do the math here. If you're getting paid a yearly salary, you know, divided by five, that's $28,400 a year. Would you agree to $28,400 a year behind bars in prison? I don't think anyone would.
The attorney general weighed in on this case. Juanetta was not found to be credible. Some of her statements describe the encounter as consensual, sort of. Some do not. They found Brian Banks to be credible, and he met the burden of proof so he could be compensated. When Brian got assistance from the California Innocence Project, he had two attorneys helping him. One of them was Justin Brooks, and the other was Alyssa Bierkle. And it was Alyssa who believes that Juanetta's mother is actually the one that got Juanetta to say that Brian raped her. Now, I think this is because Juanetta was easily manipulated. And I would just point back to when she reached out to Brian on Facebook. I mean, you made it a point to say if someone had assaulted you, you wouldn't be reaching out to them to say, hey, how's it going? Or let's be friends. That just doesn't make sense. So I'd say I totally understand why Alyssa believes this. And I think there's at least some indication of that being true. So the latest statement at the DA's office indicates that Juanetta gave consent to go to the stairwell. They're talking about this question of, did Banks think he had consent? And what I find interesting about this is, I don't think that's what this case is about. I think it's about Brian Banks thought he was going to the stairwell with Juanetta Gibson so they could make out and then going their separate ways. And then Gibson lied and said it was a rape. I don't think this is about what Banks thought was consent or not consent, because again, this is about Gibson lying to the court. How did you take this, Justin, when the attorney general is trying to get at the heart of this and what consent was or not?
Well, and they're processing it as if it was a crime. They're processing it as if, you know, someone's been accused of a crime. So they're trying to look at the legalities there. So I get it, but it's not exactly, I don't know. I guess I'm just looking at that and just thinking it's not applicable in this case, but it does at least give Brian some validation. It lets him know that he's not crazy. And even Brian says that he doesn't feel Juanetta did this or was motivated by financial gain. He thinks that she was influenced into it. Either she felt like he rejected her when they left the stairwell, or she was going to get in trouble because she was caught, and this was her story to cover the whole thing up. And then it turned into something bigger. It snowballed into a lawsuit where she made over $1 million. And the one thing that really really touched me about this case was that Brian said he didn't want to see his accuser gone after. He didn't really want prosecutors to charge her or anything. And it just shows his positive outlook on life. And as much as I hate what she did, I get where he's coming from. And it's already hard enough for people to come forward and report rape. It's already hard enough for women to get their attackers, you know, arrested, put behind bars. The statistics of how many people that actually report rape, as opposed to how many people actually get their rapists convicted. A case like this, where somebody falsely accuses someone, it's horrible, but this is such a minuscule, a fraction of a percent when this happens. And this is why the story is so big, because it happened. But it sucks when people look at this and think, oh, well, anyone can just accuse anyone of rape. But it's like the instances of this happening are few and far between, whereas the instances of people not reporting rape, people being afraid or ashamed to do it, those are far greater. And I really feel like this case is more about Brian than it is about his accuser.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Brian doesn't want to dwell on Juanetta or her motivations necessarily, because he just doesn't know and he can't know why she did what she did. So that's another reason for him to move on, is it not? I mean, when you work things over in your head over and over and over again, trying to figure out the why of it, when you're never going to find the answer, eventually you just have to move on. And I think for him, it became less about why she did what she did and more about how he was able to get to the other side and clear his name. All the things that he lost, all of the possible college at USC, getting onto an NFL team, playing there, all of that income he would have had. Who knows what his life would have become, but that's all gone. So now it's time to see what he can do with what he's got now. You know, with that, he was able to play with the Atlanta Falcons in some preseason games. He didn't make the final cut, but the NFL hired him to work in the NFL Department of Operations. So he became a big part of the Replay Center and ran their social media. And then later, a movie was made.
Yeah.
Did you see this movie?
I just watched it actually right before we started recording.
And is it something you'd recommend people check out?
Absolutely. You know, like you said, he lost all this time. He lost all this precious life experience, all these opportunities. But he says, all you can control in life is how you respond to life. So it's how you allow things to affect you is going to determine how you move forward. And he had to change his perspective. He had to change it from being victimized by the system, by this woman, to what do I need to do now moving forward? You know, what Juanetta did, I personally find despicable. And it's a spit in the face to every woman who is afraid to come forward, who has been brushed off, who has been re-victimized, because that is the issue in society, and it's not people like Juanetta.
Brian Banks had this to say about Juanetta Gibson. Part of my life was taken away because of her. But more importantly, you have to go after people like this because a person such as herself makes it harder for a woman who is raped to come forward confidently and share her story and hope something is done about what happened to them. They should be able to expect to be believed. What I got out of that was Brian Banks supports women coming forward and giving their statements. But when people come forward and give false statements and get people arrested and put in prison, it's muddying the waters. But he also doesn't want anyone to think, well, these false statements must happen a lot. They don't. So when someone does become a victim of sexual assault or of rape, they need to report it and people need to take them seriously. So even though in this case, Brian Banks was innocent and was wrongly convicted, a lot of people did the right thing. They stepped up for someone who they believed was a victim. They stood up for Juanetta Gibson when they believed she was telling the truth. So in some ways, even though bad things were happening to Brian, well, at least the system was doing its best to take a rape seriously. And we just don't see that all the time. And if anyone wants to know more about Brian Banks, there is, of course, the movie Brian Banks, or you can visit his website at brianbanksnow.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.